Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The Lord has redeemed his people.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he might have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was sinner of sinners. He was.
advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes we may wonder why the Apostle Paul needed to spill so much ink in his letter writing on such basic issues of sanctification as he does in this section of Ephesians. Speaking the truth instead of falsehood, not letting the sun go down on your anger, not stealing, doing honest work, sharing with those in need, avoiding corrupt talk, not grieving the Holy Spirit. Was he not writing to baptized Christians? Did they not know better? Paul certainly was writing to baptized Christians, but keep in mind two important things. First, baptized Christians, whether in first century Ephesus or in 21st century Fort Wayne, still struggle with sin our entire earthly life. We are daily reminded of the truth of the Latin phrase, simul justus et peccator. All Christians are simultaneously a justified saint and a sinner. Our sanctification is not a progressive conquering of sin as we go through life until it is no more in us. No, it is a daily battle of drowning the old sinful Adam in us in the waters of baptism and letting the new man, Christ, in us have his way. Second, keep in mind that Paul is writing to Christians who are recent converts, most of them probably not from the Jewish synagogue, but from pagan Roman religion and lifestyles. Ephesus was a large city, population probably surpassing about 150,000. It was wealthy, it was a thriving seaport city in the first century with several pagan temples, with all sorts of liturgical rites and sexual infidelity. There was even brothels in the city that were frequented. Falsehood, anger, stealing, slander, clamor, all part of the daily life of these Ephesian Christians prior to their conversion. Such patterns, when they are well established for years before coming to faith in Jesus Christ, are challenging to break. Not everyone grows up like many of you did, or I did, with two Christian parents who took us to the baptismal font when we were days old, and then nurtures us in the Word of God, teaching us to pray the very words of God daily, and even, like my father did, reminding us that if any corrupt talk came out, dirty words came out of our mouth, a bar of soap would be going into it. You know, that's sometimes the law is used in sanctification too, as my father did. What does Paul teach us and the Ephesians, us during this Lenten season, the Ephesians in their recent years as Christians, about the Christian's daily struggle against sin? Well, first, he reminds us that we are not in this struggle alone. Paul writes, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." God does not say, "I have done my part to save you in Jesus. Now this sanctification stuff is up to you." No. In baptism, the Father gave you his Holy Spirit, who joined you to Christ, who lives in you and who animates, empowers every good work that comes out of your sinful bodies and every good word that comes out of your sinful mouths. Yes, the Holy Spirit and Christ are not watching us from a distance in heaven. They are the dominant reality in us, in you. So much so that Paul writes in Romans 6, you are dead to sin and alive in Christ, as well as in Romans 7 when he says, it is no longer I who do this stuff, but sin living in me. Why? Because the I is now defined by Christ. That is daily struggling against the sin that still is present in us. No, we are not left alone in this daily struggle against sin. Rather, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit who unites us with Christ, who won the war against sin in his atoning death on the cross. What we cannot do, he has already done, and he has paid for each and every one of those sins that we daily commit. What a comforting image Paul puts before us in this text. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's a baptismal image. Sphragidus, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, which is, we think of the day of redemption as what happened here in the cross. But Paul is using it in the sense of, where does that redemption lead? It leads to the final day of redemption in the sense of resurrection. Yes, the benefits of that redemption are seen fully in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back in glory. So your daily struggle to live a sanctified life should never put you in doubt that you are a justified, redeemed child of God and an heir of everlasting life. When I entered the pastoral ministry some 40 years ago, one of the older pastors, I was a young buck, you know, 27 years old. One of the older pastors in the circuit mentioned the following wise words more than once when we were discussing cagistry. Now, cagistry, a circuit winkle or circuit meeting, is when pastors talk about situations in their parish ministry, their pastoral care, and get advice from one another. And when we were talking about these pastoral situations, one of the brothers would regularly say this. He said, remember, brothers, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a hotel full of saints. Now, certainly those sinners are saints, but the focus of the church is reaching and ministering to sinners, and that means all of us that are in the church, as well as all the sinners that are outside the church. It is a hospital for sinners, and we daily struggle with that reality. As future pastors and deaconesses, you're going to be testifying to the forgiveness of Christ, who shed his blood for every sin and for every sinner. And you're going to be walking alongside the sinner saints in your congregation with the Word of God and the sacraments, encouraging their new life of sanctification as Christ lives in them, showing forth his life of love. Paul not only speaks here of the behaviors that Christians should avoid, but the last verse of our text states very positively the behaviors that characterize the life of every Christian and the body of Christ as a whole. Listen again to those words that close out the reading that we just heard. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving is not who we are in our fallen state, but it is who we are, who you are in Jesus Christ as a baptized Christian alive in Him. Lent is a season not only for us to confess our sins to God and to receive His forgiveness, but it's also a time, as Paul talks about here, to be reconciled to one another, to forgive others as Christ has graciously forgiven you, even as we just sang about in the hymn that we just sang before this message, and as we daily pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is to characterize the sinner saint life that we live in Christ? Well, guess what? I'd like to jump ahead into chapter 5 because Paul sums it all up right after the reading that you just heard. And walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up on our behalf as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Christ. Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you
to
govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to
to give all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen.
Our Father, deal with us according to our sins.
Do not deal with us according to our iniquities.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.